All right, let's go ahead and put that beat on them one time.
you say you can't have my, you can't have my, you can't, you can't, you can't. My family, you can't have my increase, you can't have my breakthrough. Oh no, you can't have, because you know why? I plead the blood. Oh, I see, we didn't drop 10 folks that don't like the Holy Ghost moving. Well, I'll say this right now. Welcome to Let's Talk Jesus Live with myself, Pastor E. And yes, our forum is still designed to discuss and discover Jesus as the source of our entire lives. And yes, we will share different opinions. We'll share different testimonies. But the ultimate goal is to talk about Jesus, that we can now really learn how to go and make disciples. And not just by talking about it, but through our lives and through our examples. And yes, I want to say this to that other echelon of people. No matter how sinful, how broken, how messed up you may feel right now, Jesus loves you. That's all that matters. Forget what I think. Forget what your sister, brother, mama, daddy, anybody else thinks. I want you to know tonight that Jesus loves you. He created you in his own image, in his own likeness. And he loved you then just like he loves you now. But Jesus wants you, and Jesus is able to transform your life when you give it to him. It doesn't matter what sin, how sin, sin is sin. But the decision is when you decide to reject a sinful lifestyle, turn yourself completely away from you, and then turn yourself completely unto God. That now you can be in the realm of forgiving. You can be in the realm of the any ones. You can be in the realm of the whosoever's, because when Jesus forgives your sins, when he heals your wounds, when he changes the whole direction of your life, it means that now you can now walk not acceptable to man, but you can walk righteous. Some people say, what is righteous? I try to break it down as simple as possible. And to be righteous means you make right choices. No longer your will who lives, no longer your design that's involved, but your choices have now transformed into decisions. And when you start to decide him over yourself, you know that now following Jesus always involves sharing his love with others that who need him, that don't believe in him anymore, that's been hurting by physical Jesus instead of spiritual Jesus. And see, the moment you meet him, the moment you remember that first transformation, you know that he immediately gave you the privilege to a new life of everlasting, a new life of never ending, and that where you could do the most important thing that would ever happen in your life is go tell someone else. They call it in so many realms the Great Commission, that we go ye therefore and make disciples in all the lands and teaching them in all ways the things that he has commanded us this day. That's our responsibility. That's our privilege. That when we embrace that relationship with him, we follow, we share, and we give his great love to others, that they can do it too. My call to you tonight is that you can do it. My cry, my sermon, my love to you is that don't quit. Don't give up. If you can, and anybody listening right now, just if you can take a deep breath right now, I dare you to know you can do it. Forget the thoughts, forget the situations, because the price that has been paid for me, the price that has been paid for you, is so dramatic. Oh, when you look at it from a physical standpoint, there's nothing we can do that can match it, add up to it, or compare. Oh my God. But what we can do by believing in the things that God has done for us, that means that now no longer I live. Remember, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but he who what? Lives in me. Tonight, our subject, our topic, our arena, our discussion tonight is about stripes of Jesus. It was brought to my attention because I'm doing a project with the mighty, mighty woman of God, a friend of mine, and she's getting ready to institute a conference prayer. And the name of it was 39 Stripes. We all know that is what is the label of Jesus received, 39 stripes, representing 39 diseases known in his time. There's a lot of all other people's opinions that have been put on, and we want to take a couple of weeks to talk about those stripes. We're not going to get into the controversial things. We're going to talk about those stripes and what was the meaning of the stripes of Jesus. I'll just tell you, as studying and as getting into this discussion with God, it doesn't matter if it was 100 or 1. They were all just for me. And no matter what the cost was, it was paid, and it was paid in full. We can always get distracted to say, well, what does this say? Well, if you know history, the Jewish law was that no one would be beaten past 39 lashes, because they were at the point that 40 would kill you. So they now came up with a 40 minus 1 punishment. You can even see in the teaching of Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, read that whole chapter, but down at 24, 25, 26, he really talks about how many transgressions that he suffered for the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we talked about this, if you were on Wake Up, Get Up, Move, and Your Purpose last week, is that, first of all, we have to know that when we fall into trials, when we fall into tribulations, supposed to count it all joy. We have to already be in a mindset that the things that we must bear cannot even compare to the price that was paid. See, bearing and paying are two different situations. See, we can never pay the cost. We don't have enough. We will never be there. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what your position is, your title is. You cannot pay the cost that was already paid for me. Oh, you too. Those same stripes, those same initiations of a transference of blood We have to be really, really conscious to know that for everything that is for under the sun, there is a time and a season, that everything that was allowed to go through the plan was planned not by man. Man was just the instrument. God, everything, the Bible says, everything was created by with him, through him, and for him. It says nothing that was made without him. And we have to understand that even though it looks a little strange today, even though it doesn't look godly today, you better know who created it. That may help someone that's in a creation, in a birthing stage in your ministry, in a place of growth in your ministry, that you're now saying, you know, am I really ready to birth? Because do I know what the requirement is to go into the next level? Has nothing to do with you, has nothing to do with me, but it has to do with Christ being lifted up, magnified, and glorified in everything we do. There were 39, is that what they said? 39 stripes that were initiated, that they were supposed to represent so many things. Well, then if you go, as I said a minute ago, about the facts of a Jewish custom, when you go now to a Roman custom, because it wasn't the Jews who initiated the punishment, it was the Romans. And if you've read, if you've watched the different reenactments of the situation, you can see that those Romans were in total control. They were not under a religious stature or written law. They were there to destroy law. Some commentators claim that the condemned criminal was normally given a certain number of lashes. Scripture doesn't, Scripture doesn't mention the number of lashings or scourgings in regard to the crucifixion of our Lord. See, 39 lashes claim is therefore unbiblical. That's not something you can go in the Bible and follow. So I'm really myself trying to identify what does it really mean for the cost that was paid. I mean, was it just for others to witness, but did it have a specific meaning just for me and just for you? I went a little deeper beyond the stripes and how many were administered. But then I started looking at how many times did Jesus really shed blood, and was there a significance of him shedding? See, even as we're getting close. This is the new season. We're getting close to Easter and the celebration of life, but we always get remembered of the Passover feast and the resurrection weekend, and why not start now to start to really look at the death of Jesus and the shedding of his blood? Have you ever really just said, let me look at the shedding, not the actual beating and the things that had to go for, but to look at what was the significance of the shedding of his blood? See, it's more important for us to know what the Lord has done for us and to walk in that victory of what's already been done. Some people are still looking for it to happen. Have you made a decision? Here's a sidebar. Have you made a decision that it's already done? Nothing can be added. Nothing can be taken, but you have to accept it and believe. Now, these are the factors that we have to know, even if we're talking about the shedding of Jesus' blood. Do you believe? Do you believe that this transpired? Do you believe that this happened? Do you believe that this cost was paid for you? It's important for you to really believe what was done. See, God declares in his word that blood shall be the only means of atonement. Read Hebrews 9 and 22. It says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. See, it is the blood of Jesus that brought me. I know I'm being a little selfish, but you could go and throw your name in there too. It was Jesus that bought my freedom. We can look at the significance of a number that I'd love to really study in the number of seven. See, you know, the number seven is the number of God. You can even call it the signature, because in about every one of his works, you will find the number seven represented. For example, when giving Aaron instructions for the atonement on the mercy seat, God said the blood was to be sprinkled how many times? Seven times. He says, and ye shall take of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall sprinkle of the blood with finger seven times. You can find that in Leviticus 16 and 17. Now watch this. Now, God also had Jesus' blood shed seven different places. I'm going to share those places tonight, because we have to really know that power of the blood. And it wasn't so much of what people recognize, crucifixion, but what God enforced as principle. See, principle is something that has to be followed. Principle is something that I can't put into place. I have to follow the word of God. Each instance of the seven times I'm going to share with you tonight, it has its own significance. Take you to process through the process of his death on the cross for me, but really for us. And the seven losses of his blood repurchased us. See, there were some things that most of us may have looked over that set us up to the place. Because don't you know, he could have just came one day and said, here, I'm going to come to sacrifice. I'm going to, once this is done, it's over. But there was a plan to everything that was put into place, principle. It had to be followed from the beginning to the end. Don't you know the way you start is the way you finish? A lot of us are still not even moving because we never started. And then some of us have started and we never finished because we just don't know how. But when we look at how God institutes finishing the race, knowing that when you go through, there's going to be some losses. There's going to be some obstacles. But you still must believe and understand what the blood of Jesus did for you. See, you will never again stay in bondage in any area of your life when you know what was done for your repurchasing. You will never have to be in despair or in depression when you really know and understand the blood of Jesus and the power it holds. Oh, they sung it back in the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on. It will never lose this. You have to know, just like I have to know, because I can get out of bondage with the blood. I can get out of depression with the blood. I can get out of oppression with the blood. But most people that claim victory are not victorious because they don't know the significance and the power of the blood. Now, this is not a stone throwing contest. My toes got stepped on, and if yours got stepped on, then the shoe fits wear it. This is not intentional. As a matter of fact, tonight, I'm not even looking at the board and seeing who's on the board. I don't even know how many listeners are on tonight. I know that this is a word from me that I have to share with the people that I am connected to in covenant. Because, this is my season to push you. I'm going deeper in my studies so I know how to push you, not by my power, not by my might, but by the power and the Spirit of God. See, Jesus, call his name. Jesus took the victory for us. But the devil is still squatting on the property. Look at it that way. Oh, we are not of the world, but we are in this world. And the devil is squatting on the property. Most of us need to stand up right now. There's five listening right now. Need to stand up and demand your freedom. Because inasmuch as Jesus has already won the victory, we can still find ourselves lost and woulda, coulda, shoulda. Why am I not seeing all of the, man, all this is around me, and the anointing is so heavy around me, but I'm still in my same position. Let me tell you something. You want to know why? Because you have not changed your position. See, the position of God doesn't have to change because everything that he's done is finished. It's complete. If you don't change from being in that place, guess what? It's not going to just come out of heaven and do it for you. You must put forth the first step. See, it's on you to serve the enemy with the eviction notice. Get out of my territory. See, it's up to us to start to enforce the victory that Christ has given us. Because don't get it twisted. And you better keep this real and keep it always right. The devil is no gentleman. He ain't no nice guy. He won't just voluntarily go away. Just because he's been defeated on the cross, he must still be forced out of your situation. Come on, you got to look at it like, get your garden together. Get your ground together. A lot of people be putting their hands up saying, rain on me, Jesus. Don't you know if you don't have good ground and good seed, rain is no worth to you. You'll just have a bunch of mud. Push. Let me push somebody on that one. If you don't have good ground, if you're not sowing good seed in good ground, and here comes the rain and you expecting harvest, all you're going to get is a bunch of mud. Oh, yeah, come on. Let me push my covenant partners, because it's time for us to really receive the harvest. Not a 10-year, 5-year, 3-year. I'm talking about a right now harvest. Are you ready for your right now harvest? See, that comes from enforcing the victory of Jesus Christ and knowing you are up against an adversary. Not the same adversary I have. And not the same adversary somebody else has had. You got your own adversary, because the battle I fight with myself every day is with me. The devil didn't make me do it. Come on, I'm just going to confess tonight in front of all my partners and let you know the devil didn't make me do it. I just said he did. That's what we've always been taught to say. But don't you know it's the you in you that makes you do what you really want to do. That's going to catch up in a minute. But he must. Oh, yeah, that other you. Some of us got some others and some other yous. We got multiple personalities, and we know who this one is, and we know how to deal with them. But don't you know they must go, but they must be forced out. So no longer I who live. Oh, we talking something tonight, but he who lives in me. See, Jesus, do you realize, and can you just put it down, write it on a big piece of paper, he has done all he will ever do to free you. I got to just break it down to you tonight. He won't come back and get beaten again. Oh, my God, never. He won't ever be drugged down the street and made to carry that. Never. He will never bear the transgressions of the cross again, ever. He will not die and go to the grave. Ever. He will not have to go back and reascend it, because he's already in heaven. He's already at the right hand of the Father. Oh, my God. High-fiving the Holy Spirit in oneness of spirit, because that's already been done. See, it's time for us to go to war. It's time for us to go to battle. It's time for us to look at. I know somebody thought this was going to turn into a message of oh, look what he did for me. No, the Bible says in Luke 9:23, if you desire to follow me, just you talking to you, and guess what, talking to me, if you desire to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow. My God, don't you know it's time for you to bend down and take some stripes? Because all he has done has already been done. Isaiah 53:5, it says, but he was, not that he will be, not that it's going to, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was, not that he will be, not that it's going to come, he was bruised for our iniquity. Somebody ought to shout tonight on this word that got so hot. It's hot up in here. The chastisement of our peace was on him. Was. See, that's a done deal. And with his stripes, we ourselves are healed. That doesn't mean you will be. That doesn't mean you might be. That means you are healed. Now, if you're still sick, that means you're in the wrong position, not God. If you've gotten put into, that's not because he was hanging over there. That's because I was. See, we know there that by taking up my cross, that's every reason for me to suffer for him. The wounds, the bruises, the chastisements, the stripes. We looking at just the stripes on his back. Oh, my God, do you know all of the, Jesus, if we really took a study of everything he went through, even from a child, a baby, they were searching to kill him and cut his head off, and how many other children, how many other little boys were mutilated because of him. Oh, no, we don't talk about that. But he was wounded for you. He was bruised for you. I know somebody right now saying, I'm still that way. He's already been wounded for you. He's already been bruised for you. I want to say this. Here's another side note. No matter what it is, God still loves you. Straightforward. You can put that all on Facebook. No matter what you've done, no matter what you are doing, no matter who you are right now, no matter what rehab and people telling you need, God still loves you. And all he is looking for you to do is call on him. Call me afterwards, but call him first. Need our ministry, the hot P2B hotline, 562-413-3710. Someone will return your call immediately. But call Jesus first. Then you'll know if that's the right number to call. Or he'll send the right number. But most of us need to learn to start calling his number first. We'll call Sister So-and-so. And by the time we call Jesus, he's far from it, because she done already bashed you. She done already put you under the bus. Oh, you call your homeboy, and you go tell him first, and you expected Jesus to come and bless it? Let me check you on this one right now. Start taking it to Jesus first. Everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. I want to share a couple of things, and as I was sharing with you, we're going to talk about the seven places where blood was shared for me. Remember, the number one is Jesus shed his blood at the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, in Luke 22:44, it says, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. See, what was redeemed there was our willpower. It was in the Garden of Eden that Adam lost his willpower, the ability to say no to sin and to all the evil in the flesh that wasn't a part of the garden. See, the Garden of Gethsemane is when Jesus gained the power back for you, the power back from me, when he said no to the following of his own desires. When Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew full well what he was going to redeem for you. Hold on, let me put my name back in there. He knew what he was going to redeem for me, my willpower. So when he was tested, he finally prayed. Remember, Father, be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. See, the flesh always want to tell you to cry out and say, can we change the agreement? Flesh always, especially when all those that are supposed to be supporting you, when all those that are supposed to be backing you up, I can't even stand up and pray with you or watch for you or encourage you. Flesh always says, Father, is there any way? Oh, but we know our will must what? Die so his will can live. But see, now, when? Now, through the power of Jesus Christ, we have the power to say no to sin. Somebody says out there, oh, man, we've all sinned and we've all fallen short in the glory of God. That's the word of God. It didn't say you had to continue in it. We have the power to say no to sin because our willpower has been redeemed by the blood that was shed through his sweat. I declare right now to each and every one of us that we receive the power to say no to your own will and say yes to nothing but God and what will he has for you. Number two, he shed blood at the whipping post. Remember? Matthew 27:26. Then he released Barabbas to them. And when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. See, he redeemed something for you right then. Number two, he redeemed your health. See, it was well known that there was 39 rule. They had 39 world diseases. See, while Jesus was being whipped at the post, he was given 39 lashes, so-called, because of the different tuitions and situations. But how many times, that's what I'm saying, how many other times did he have been hit or beat before then? Let's not try to put a number on it. But each one of those beatings, each one of those disrespect, anything, all the things that were, don't you know each one of them was so he could redeem your health and remove the sickness, wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are. Somebody tonight that's listening right now needs to decree to yourself. Say, I command every sickness, every disease to leave me right now in the name of Jesus. I claim your healing by not my will, but by the master's will. I claim my freedom right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody just got healed. Number three, don't you know he shed his blood internally from those intense beatings, 27, when they put him on, when they put him on the post. He was bleeding eternally. And it was only for our forgiveness. When he was not wounded on the outside, but wounded internally. That was for your forgiveness and for the liberty from the whole of transgressions and iniquities. See, out of those severe beatings, he underwent also and suffered many injuries. Oh, my God. You can't just look at 39. You have to look at it in such a deep position to know that those transgressions, that's something to do with the full knowledge of what was wrong and how to turn away and to take on the burden for that known sin, that iniquity, that weakness, that fault, that inheritance that had came down, that you don't lie just because you lie because your daddy lied. You don't steal just your mama stole. You don't do this because of that. You do it because you have inherited it from something. But now those transgressions have been redeemed and released by the blood of Jesus. You got to command every grip of transgression, every iniquity to break from your life right now in the name of Jesus. Let the blood, oh yeah, the same blood that was shed eternally for him, let there be restoration, let there be wholeness, let there be no more transgression, no more iniquity, and you can only claim it in one name, and that's in the name of Jesus. Now, number four is something that you have to really look at and see the anger that these men had against Jesus. Remember that crown that they made of thorns? That was not just no little bitty thorns that, you know, like what they call those little brown things with the little. The kicker bugs or whatever. They stick to your socks and stuff in the country. No, these were horns. These were thorns like off of a deer that they had put this crown together. When they put it on his head, oh my God, just the reenactment of when they put it on his head and twisted it. Can you imagine these 3-inch, 4-inch horns being twisted into his head? That blood that shed from his head when they twisted. Matthew 27:29, it says, and planting, P-L-A-I-T-I-N-G, plating, they mean they jammed it. A crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, mocking him, saying, "Hail, King of Jesus." Don't you know that was when your peace of mind, when the healing of all mental torment was redeemed for you? This was to liberate your mind. This was something, a ministry that most of us could take on right now, because if you look at our communities, the minds are in bondage. The minds are in a critical state. They must be redeemed, but they don't know about the blood that can redeem peace of mind and the healing of all mental torment. In the mighty name of Jesus, I decree and declare right now over our whole nation, over our whole world, to break off all oppression of the mind in the name of Jesus, to command stress to leave right now in the name of Jesus, to command all witchcraft of the mind to release you right now, to release everybody in the mighty name of Jesus. I command that all black bands and balls sent against you will catch fire and burn ashes in Jesus' name. I decree and declare right now, you go walk in victory and in your destiny in Jesus' name. Be loose to make the right choices in your mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you're acting crazy, that's because you're thinking crazy. If you're talking stupid, that's because you're thinking stupid. If you think you're no good, that's because you've been told you're no good. Let me turn that around. Side note number four tonight. You are. Don't you know that you were beautifully designed by God? You are God's favorite. He chose you. He called your name before the foundation of the world. But you are still in bondage. Release it right now in the name of Jesus because of the blood. Oh, yeah. See, number five is, you know, he shed blood when they pierced his hands, when they crucified him. Remember, they divided his garments, casting a lot, so they might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. I said this in the beginning. Don't think man had nothing to do with what was going on. These are the things that had to go forward for you. Some of us are still in our own crooked, sick ways because we really don't know the cost that was paid for us. We think it's just a movie. We think it's just something that might have happened. Some of us don't really believe all the way that God died on the cross for you. You think just like just said it. There are historical facts. And that's one thing about the Romans. They took good notes. They took clear notes. Now, they did everything in their power to even discard the note, the witnesses. How could a man die and get up and go back to heaven? How was he God in the flesh? Oh, no, that didn't make sense. But when they pierced his hands, don't you know? He redeemed for you the power to succeed, the power to prosper, the ability to receive that spiritual inheritance by that blood that came from his hands. See, Jesus freed us to receive our inheritance. Until then, and you know the new covenant, we just were teaching about this last week, you cannot have received anything because the old didn't work. Side note, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Side note, some of us are still in the old and we wondering why it ain't working, because you got to do something new. New is something never, ever been done before by man, only by God. Yes, everything God has done is finished and complete. But when it comes to us, it's a whole new thing. That's why we say God is doing a new thing. No, he ain't. God already finished it. It's new to you because you got a new way of looking at things. It's new to you because you can now see the trueness of God's word. Oh, no, but you want to blame it on God. God is doing a new thing. Stop lying. He's not. God has finished the work. It's already done. Oh, yeah. We push it tonight. Because it's time for us to really stand in our position to be redeemed. Do you want to be redeemed today? We've already been redeemed, the power to succeed and the power to prosper and the ability to receive spiritual inheritance. We've already been redeemed in peace of mind and healing. But guess what? If we go back over all the five areas we've talked about so far, don't you know that's just for you to go to the next level because you can take somebody else to the next level? Oh, my God. It's not just for me. I have to share what God has shown me that will work, that someone else can say, you know what, I got to just twist this and change this a little bit, but guess what, that can work for me too. And I say that all the time, don't follow me. Please pick up your own notes and please take your own journals and start to design what God has for you, because what God has for you is only for you. What Jesus has done for you is only for you. But you have to start taking it personal. And somewhere along the time of religion, we got to thinking that it was a man that could tell us the things of God. Oh, no, the new covenant says not your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your next door neighbor, the bishop, the pastor, the apostle, the evangelist, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, can tell you to know me, because all will know me as their God. All you got to do is push in the right direction and know the power that has been paid for you. Oh, we started out with 39. No, we gonna get down to 7, because these seven areas that blood was shed for us. Don't you know that's perfection in God? I love to look for the 7. We got a fellowship about to launch called the 7. That's it. a group of 7 that will agree. A group of 7 that will do. A group of 7 that will make it happen. A group of 7 that ain't sitting around waiting for you to tell them to do. They saying, I'm here. Let's go. Empty me, God. Fill me, God, and use me. But number 6, don't you know when they pierced his feet? Oh, there's some more blood. That blood, when they went through the process of dishonoring him. But don't you know that blood from his feet was to redeem your dominion and your authority? See, we were given dominion in the garden. Adam lost it. Now, some people would say we lost it. I wasn't in the garden. I'm not Adam. I'm not a seed of Adam. Now, in my sin, I probably was. I'm not a seed of Abraham. I'm not a seed of anybody. I'm a seed of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says, oh, my God, that he came to dissolve all the old and bring the new. That now if I'm in him, all things become new again. All things been passed away. Behold, right now, family. You better embrace that right there, because when he did it, it was for you, for your redemption and your dominion and your authority. Not the disobedience of somebody else. Look at yourself in the mirror. We've been blaming other folks. Well, I sinned because my daddy did. I did it because my mama did. Guess what? If you keep living that cycle, it'll keep reproducing. It's time for us to redeem ourselves by repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When? Right now. I decree, let the blood of Jesus flow over your feet right now in the name of Jesus. Get some oil right now and anoint your feet. Say, let all defilement be washed away from your feet. I'm going to tell you something. Most of us will notice this. Don't you know if you pay attention to your feet kind of judge your body. If your feet get cold, everything else in your whole body goes. I don't care how many jackets you put on. Don't put some socks on. Let your feet stay. They're going to be cold. Let your feet be tired. Everything else is tired. You don't do nothing. Check it out and see if I'm telling the truth. But I decree right now, oh my God, and declare right now the blood of Jesus to flow over your feet in the name of Jesus, to let all defilement be washed away from your feet in the name of Jesus. Oh my God, let your dominion be restored to you, and let God make all your enemies be subject unto you, in not your name, but in the name of Jesus. Now go for it. Now leap. Now reach. Now get it. Don't quit. Don't be distracted. Don't go around. Go through and take back what the enemy has stole and claim it in the name of Jesus right now. Oh, we talking some blood stuff tonight. And number seven. Oh my God, the seventh issue of blood. When they pierced him in his side. And it wasn't just because guess what? They didn't have to do it. They had already torn him down. But to fulfill John 19:34, he said, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with the lance, and instantly there came out blood and water. See, don't you know the redemption there was the wholeness of heart and fullness of joy. Jesus went through great heartbreak right from the moment he entered into Jerusalem. First, he was rejected and betrayed by Judas. Then the crowd before Pilate, and also rejected and refused him, preferring Barnabas to be given to them. Then he saw his mother watch him while naked on the cross. Can you imagine your mama seeing a situation like that? Oh, no. You ain't really took up your cross. Then he felt abandoned by his father, who he cried. Remember? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Betrayal, grief, abandonment, rejection. These are the things which grip the heart of the master and caused him so much anguish that he even hung on the cross. It wasn't easy. It wasn't medically proved that a high level of agony can be caused to sustain. When Jesus died, the soldiers didn't pierce his heart, only his side. But when they did, blood and water came out, showing that he literally died of a broken heart. Don't you remember when he first began his ministry? He said God has sent him to heal the brokenhearted. So family, believe this. The enemy may have done many things to crush your heart and your will to live. You may have gone through many things at the hands of men, in the hands of women. But when we come to Jesus, broken hearts are made new again because of the blood, because of the shedding of the blood. It never said that the stripes or the beatings was going to give you life. It never had a song that says the stripes will make you whole. The stripes will make you white as snow. No. The blood that was shed for me on Calvary makes me new again. He's not. He didn't say he mended things. He says, I make all things new. No matter what, you're new again. No matter what they said, no matter what the record is, no matter in Christ, you are new again when you understand the power of the blood that was shed. Not how, but because. See, sometimes we have to change things. You know, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, if I keep thinking the same old way, I'm going to always get the same old way. But now looking at the blood from a whole other perspective, we understand that that's where the power is. And yes, I wouldn't want to see it done to anyone. But it's time for me, it's time for you to really step up to the level where, you know, I want to see the difference. I want to see the change. I'm not here just for the mediocre relationship, clap my hands, stomp my feet, like me on Facebook and follow and all that. No, I'm really here for the change in me. And I, yes, together, we're going to see the change. Because I'm going to push you to this season 2018, I have been anointed to push. Not lightly. It's not going to feel good. I know some people on the line tonight. A lot of people hung up earlier. Because people don't want to hear that push where, no excuses. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and I said, no, this is God's calling. Well. I said, no, you can make it happen. And they just start laughing like, boy, you made so much sense there. Because I said, if you're doing that, you can do this. But you have to do it for God and know that with the blood, oh, my God, you can accomplish. You are accomplished. You are God's greatest miracle. So for me, and my last side note tonight for you before we close out, we're not even going to open up the lines. This teaching for the next 2 or 3 weeks is going to be about the blood. And we're going to go deep in the blood. And then we're about to start a series for those that I haven't shared. On Wednesday night, we're going to take a break from the news station. Minister Rashad is going to be doing Money Minute on the fourth Tuesday of every month. And that'll be about a 2-hour show. A lot of information. Minister Terry is going to be transitioning over to Women Speak Now on the fourth Thursday of every month. And we haven't really decided on what that is going to be directed about, but you know the word is growing in her, and I really could see some guests coming on and some things happening in that season. But on Wednesday nights, we are going to be launching, not relaunching Pressing Over the Hump. We talked about that, getting over the hump. We're going to be launching Finishing Strong on the Now Network. Wednesday evenings, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And we will be back into our series teaching for the remainder. Listen, for the remainder of the season of 2018, starting the first week of February. We'll continue with our closure shows on the Now Network News. But we're going to really get back into teaching. Been hearing this for years. Even when we first said we're going to take a break, I didn't say anything to anybody, but we were even challenged then. Why? And then it got to the point where we filled in other shows that I used to be on it, and people and a lot of our covenant partners are saying, no, you need to get back on. So we are back on Wednesday evenings and in our teaching mode, along with Mondays. Mondays, we are going to keep it on the Jesus part, where specifically, like we are right now, we're going to continue this for a couple of weeks until the Lord says different. And then on Wednesdays, we're going to really get into the specifics of the seed of Jesus. That was brought up, and we got a lot of response about that. It's going to be our first series teaching on Finishing Strong. Wednesday evenings, 6 p.m., 8 p.m., 9 p.m., you know your time zone. But I pray tonight as we've oh, my God, I'm just like free. Everything I was saying to you guys about decreeing and declaring, that was right on me, and the anointing was right on there. I know it's some folks jumping up in their living rooms and got out their seat and then stomp your feet. And some people laying prostrate before the Lord just saying thank you. To really know the power of the blood and know that we can utilize that same power. So Heavenly Father God, thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you for your sacrifice. But Lord, we thank you for your life. We thank you that what's already been done is finished. We thank you that it's not going to happen again. But we thank you now that as we worship you and as we believe in you and as we share you and as we follow you, we know that the price has been paid. And we could just now move into the realm of acceptance that, Lord, your will is being done in and through us each time. Lord, empty us right now in the name of Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and then use us like never before. You paid it all.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love performed for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side, could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true. You gave your life and still I heard you. Lost so many times to supply you again. But I repent, forgive me for my sin. You played it all.
You gave your life.
paid it all.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.